The Gospel of Matthew tells us a story of something that happened many years after Mary sang out of all the ways that her child would turn the world upside down. There came a day when Jesus was already in his 30s and his ministry had begun. The ministry of John the Baptist had abruptly ended, though. John was in prison because he had dared to challenge the moral choices of King Herod. John the Baptist heard in prison of what the Messiah was doing. The Messiah. He was the Messiah, wasn't he? John had prepared the way for him, and then he had baptized him. He had to be the Messiah, didn't he? He had heard the voice from heaven himself saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." He was the Messiah. He was the Messiah? When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word through his disciples to Jesus and asked, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" When John's disciples came to Jesus with this question, he didn't answer them by saying, "Here's my ID." Jesus didn't answer them by saying, asking for the Spirit to descend on heaven like a dove. Jesus didn't answer them by saying, "You've got a lot of nerve questioning me like that." Jesus answered them by saying, "Look around you. Pick out the evidence for yourselves. What do you see? Go and tell John what you see and hear. Do you see the empire clamping down? Do you see the army in your streets? Do you see the poverty of your people? Do you see your spiritual leader in prison? You see this. But do you also see this? The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. Do you see the healing? Do you see that those who had been known for their differences are now cherished in the kingdom of God? Do you see the restoration? Do you see the homes with clean water running into them? Do you see the family and friends finding support and stopping the road to suicide? Do you see the pipeline construction stopped because of prayerful water protectors? Do you see affordable housing come to be in the city? Do you see what Mary saw? Go and tell. What Mary saw wasn't something that is easy to see with one's eyes. What Mary saw was actually the reverse of what was. She saw all of the existing power structures upside down. She saw what God was working on in the baby in her womb. She had gone from answering Gabriel with, "How can this be?" to greeting Elizabeth with, "Let me tell you how this is going to be." Nothing had actually changed in the world around Mary. Palestine was still under occupation. But lots had changed inside Mary. And I mean physically, whether it was the morning sickness or the raging hormones or the hummus cravings, Mary no longer questioned her pregnancy. And also within her, Mary had gained a vision of what God was up to. And she knew that if God was really being born into the world, then the agenda was to turn things around and set things right. The voice of Mary is confident and certain of the good that is to come for those who are currently on the margins. But, unexpectedly perhaps, sometimes we relate more to the voice of John the Baptist this week. John had been so on fire for the kingdom of God on the shores of the Jordan River a little while ago. But now that he's in prison, well, he's feeling a little less sure of what he believes. Was everything worth it? If he dies in prison, will it have been for the right cause? We understand this experience, right? In a way, this is the life of faith. There will hopefully be times when we are so sure about our faith, when it all makes sense, or we feel it in our hearts, or we find purpose in our actions, whichever way the Spirit works in you. But then we can be like John in prison, asking, am I following the right person? Is this what I was called to? Did I listen to the wrong voice? What are you doing, God? One of my favorite lines from a secondary gospel character comes from a father who asks Jesus if he can heal his son after his disciples have failed. Jesus says, "All things can be done for the one who believes." And the father blurts out, "I believe! Help my unbelief!" I love that line as an expression of faith. I believe, except for when I don't. Help me believe. It sets the context for the part of Isaiah that we heard too. This part of Isaiah is from the end of the exile. So picture a community that is preparing itself to go back home, a home most of them haven't seen, but many of them are longing for. But to get from Babylon to Jerusalem, you either have to go around a really long, dangerous way, or you have to go through a desert that won't support life. So what do you do? Do you abandon your dreams and build a home where you were once a prisoner of war? Some did. But these words recorded in Isaiah speak straight to the hearts of a disillusioned, disheartened people. God will come and save you. Not by magical transportation, but rather God will remake the whole landscape so that you can come home. The desert will bloom, and you will see that God has not abandoned you. Don't be afraid. Strengthen your knees and hands. I won't let you get lost. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Sounds a lot like what Jesus said to John's disciples. Look around you and keep moving forward, and you will recognize God at work in the world. By the healing at work in your community and in the very land itself. The exiles still had a desert in front of them. Mary's people were still beneath a Roman boot and the complicity of men like Herod. John was still in prison. But that's exactly when God says, Mary says, Jesus says, look, listen. Pay attention to the healing that is already at work. Act in hope that healing is part of the surprise of the kingdom of God. In the Rejoice devotional this week, Gareth Brandt reflected on Mary's Magnificat and God's coming to earth as a reversal of status and values. He wrote, "Just as pride goes before a fall, so the small will be lifted tall. Tommy Douglas was a man of small stature, a small-town Baptist pastor on the Canadian prairies during the Great Depression. Yet a few years ago, he was voted as the greatest Canadian on a television poll. He once said, 'Watch out for the little fellow with an idea.' His idea was that all people, regardless of their wealth or status, should be entitled to equal health care. He left the pastorate and went into politics, working tirelessly for the rights of the poor and marginalized, and became known as the father of universal health care in Canada." Pay attention to the healing that is at work. It was 2 weeks ago that 15-year-old Noah Rabbani was attacked by two people with a baseball bat near Rymal and Fletcher Roads in Hamilton. His skull was cracked, and he had successful surgery shortly afterward, though he will still have a long road to recovery. Noah's family, who are Pakistani and Muslim, couldn't help wondering whether this was a hate crime before they heard more from the police about the crime ring they were investigating. But whether or not it's a hate crime, this was a hateful and violent act. And yet, this desert blooms too. Last Sunday night, about 100 people gathered near the spot where Noah was attacked, holding candles and signs, showing support for Noah and his family. His friend Chelsea said, "The fact that we are here and of all different races shows that we are strong and we can get through this." Noah's aunt, Salima Hafiz, told the crowd her family has seen an avalanche of support from all over North America. A fund set up to help with Noah's medical expenses raised close to $80,000 in just a few days. And the family has since shut it down as the response is even greater than they expected. Noah's aunt said through tears, and then also with the confident voice of Mary, "If anything, this is bringing us together as a community. We are standing here today because we don't want violence. We don't want violence in our neighborhoods, in our communities. We want safe communities for our children, no matter where you live, no matter what color you are, no matter what faith you believe in, no matter who you stand for." Pay attention to the healing that is at work. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? I believe. Help my unbelief. We still live in these spaces of deserts before the blossoms or prisons without light. As I reflected this week on the theme of healing in a world of hurting, I thought of the things I have been carrying for people I love just in the past few weeks. A family friend who suffered an aneurysm and who has been transferred between hospitals and cities 3 times as they still struggle to bring him back to his loved ones. My cousins who send regular updates on the school in South Sudan where they work, where staff and students have been victims of kidnapping and threats of violence. The daughter of those cousins and her husband who await the birth of their first child with joy, but who have already faced stressful medical interventions for health issues presumably related to their daughter having Down syndrome. And this young couple will soon begin to learn how to parent in that unique reality. Pay attention to the healing that is at work. A wise person who had her own journey of chronic physical pain when she was just a teenager said to me just last night, "It's hard to know how to talk about healing when you're still in the middle of things, when you're still sick, when there's still conflict and pain." Right now, I see healing in the huge community of love that has enveloped my family, friends, in the face of the unfairness and randomness of illness. I see healing in the image of 250 South Sudanese students and teachers walking as if on the holy way where no one will go astray in the to safety of the next town as they sang, "We are marching in the light of God," in the face of civil war and genocide. I see healing in my young cousins facing the unknown and the emotional roller coaster of medical interventions by loving their yet unborn daughter so much and being deeply confident in the incredibly important purposes her life has in bringing honor to God. The desert is there, but the desert is blooming. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, "Be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. God will come and save you. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. We are marching in the light of God. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. My soul magnifies the Lord." Let's pray a prayer adapted from Sing the Journey. Lord, as we patiently long for our world to bend towards justice, may we be the ones who dance in the corridors of death, who sing in the hallways of terror, who laugh in the prisons of fear, who shout across the silencing walls, who love beyond the borders of hatred, who live to bring healing and hope to the world. Amen.